Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Good morning, church. Today is our second missions emphasis. What we call Church of Our Savior is calling Mission Festival. And because it's a festival, we can all celebrate. Amen. What are we celebrating? We are celebrating missions. We are celebrating what God has done through this church. And I believe that He is wanting to do more, to send more missionaries. So today, before I officially start my message, I just felt led that we should pray for the Osaka team. Now, where is Osaka? Japan, huh? All right, yes. So we have a team there, right? A team there that is laboring very hard. They have been there coming to one year to plant a church. So this is the church planting strategy, that we go there, not just hit and run. We have a very specific strategy, is to make disciples. Make disciples. So I want you, you can sit where you are, right? And I'll just lead aloud in prayer, and you just, like I say, pray along with me. Can you do that? Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the Lord of the harvest. And today we want to lift up the Osaka team. Father, we lift up Bala, Joanna. We lift up Adeline, Pochu, and even Lorraine right now, God. Father, we lift them up to you, knowing, oh God, that your anointing to rest upon them, Lord. Give them the perseverance, the tenacity to see, oh God, Father, the Japanese being saved. To see this people group being touched, oh God. And so today we want to just renounce, oh God, even the common knowledge, the common fact that they always say the Japanese are so difficult to reach. Father, we know with you all things are possible. And they are going under your mandate, oh God. They have been given the task, Father, to start a church there, Lord. Whether it's a cell group, it's a church or whatever it is. And we know, oh God, this mandate, oh God, will be completed because you are with them, Lord. So we pray in the mighty name of Jesus that we, even as part of the sending church, we bless them. Father, we ask you to encourage them, oh God. Strengthen them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to see this people group being rich for you. Because God, your word says with men, Lord, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible, and we give you thanks because we know as we pray sincerely from our heart, knowing that you will start the work. We give you all the glory, God. Let your Son, oh God, the Son of righteousness with healing in his hands, even Lord, you have touched this land of the rising sun. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Yeah, so the title of my message is, like I said, it's regarding mission. So it will be called Mission Possible. Everybody say Mission Possible. Right, so as a part of the introduction, I will invite you to sit back and relax and to enjoy this short video. It is a song, or rather a video clip, and the lyrics are from this brother called Scott Wesley Brown. And I heard and I saw this video about 20 or 25 years ago when I was a very, very young leader. So sit back and enjoy, and I will come back later.
Also attended Highland USA in Del Rio, Texas, home of the drive-in baptismal car wash and discount house of worship. Say hallelujah. Brother never minds we have a story. I'll never forget the movie Jungle Book. Say hallelujah. You remember it, don't you? Dr. Livingstone, say hallelujah. Beautiful man, pillar of the community. Well, you know, quite frankly, he went into the wilds of the jungle and never came back.
Oh Lord, I am your willing servant. You know that I have been for years. I'm here in this pew every Sunday and Wednesday. I've stained it with many a tear. I've my service, I've always given my best, and I've never asked you for anything much, so Lord, I deserve this request. Please don't send me to Africa, I don't think I've got what it takes. I'm just a man, I'm not a Tarzan. jungle like lions, gorillas, or snakes. I'll serve you here in suburbia, in my comfortable middle class life. But please don't sing me out into the bush, where the natives are restless at night. I'll see that the money is gathered, I'll see that the money is sent. I'll wash and stack the communion cups, I'll tithe 11%. I'll volunteer for the nursery, I'll go on the youth group retreat. I'll usher, I'll deacon, I'll go door to door. Just let me keep warming this seat. Please don't send me to the ends of the earth, where the natives are restless at night. Do
you enjoy it? You see, my first church was very mission-minded. There is a saying that they say, input sinner, can you guess output? Missionary. It was not said by me, but it was implied. It means input sinner, output missionary. Right, so this has been in my mind. Though I'm now in Church of Our Savior, we don't have that mission statement, but it's also in my blood. Right, you know, in my blood, in my DNA. And so I knew that when I joined the full-time ministry as a pastor, I was an area pastor there for 12 years, I knew sooner or later I have to go for a mission. It's understood. Yeah, so I decided that before they ask me, I volunteer myself. Easier, right? Right, but God was so good, He really spoke to me. 1 year after my grandmother passed away, you know, I felt such a strong sense that there is no excuse to go and sign up, you know, to be a missionary. Of course, being a full-time pastor, you cannot be a member, right? You have to be a team leader. We call them mission pastor. But I know in Church of Our Savior, mission pastor is the one that is staying behind. That is Pastor Vanaja. We send out team leader. Alright? Yes. So anyway, I was the team leader. Right? So I approached the leadership and I said that I felt it's time to go. And anyway, the commitment is only 2 years. 2 years is not long. So what my point is trying to say to you is that when you go out for mission, it's basically you make a decision. You felt the timing is there and you just respond. So not necessarily to have thunder and lightning. You understand or not? Some people go for 1 year, they have to have a Macedonian call, you know, that kind. Like thunder, like, wow, this is Nepal, this is, you know, China, that. Not necessary, right? So for me, I have no particular country. You say that, hey, Cynthia, it's time that you ought to go. So I approached my pastor who was, you know, in charge of that congregation. And he said, we are planting a church in Lusaka. Now, for a moment, I thought, Lusaka, where in the world is that? Is it in Japan? I said, Japan, not bad. Got a lot of sashimi. Yes, huh? Then he said, no, Cynthia, it's in Zambia. Now, Zambia also, I'm not very sure. Because I know Kenya and South Africa. Right? So I look up the map and so forth. And Zambia, apparently, is a very big country. Very country. It's a landlocked country. Located in the south central of Africa. Right? So it's located there. And it's the neighboring are Zimbabwe and South Africa and Angola, Botswana, you know, Zimbabwe, all those areas. You look, go to the map, you can see. So anyway, I decided to respond. I say, God, I'm willing to serve there for 2 years. And after 2 years, when I came back, I was in the lift and I happened to see a church member. Apparently, he also went somewhere. So I was staying in Yishun and he said, Cynthia, welcome back from Japan. So I was very shocked. I said, by the way, I didn't go to Japan. I've never been to Japan. Where do you think I have been? He said, didn't you go to Osaka? Well, right, I didn't go, right? I didn't go to Osaka. So I told him, no, Lusaka is in Zambia. Right. So what I'm trying to say is that, like I said, I've never in my life, during that time, about 20 years ago, to really experience, you know, to go for missions, to go as far away as Africa. To me, at that time, Africa is like the uttermost part of the earth. Right. So I thank God for His grace and mercy that after 2 years I came back and I continued to serve in the church, you know, pastoring and being involved in other ministry. Right, in other ministry. Mm. So today I'm going to talk about mission, of course, and is mission possible? And I want to talk about the Great Commission. So we will read from Matthew chapter 28. Verses 18 to 20, but after reading Matthew 28, 18 to 20, I will also bring other gospel, the gospel of Luke, Mark, and John also, to show that how, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ gave a commandment in all of this gospel, His so-called last commandment. And so I want to really emphasize the Great Commission is not a suggestion, but it's a command. Everybody say it's a command. Right, so if it's a command, we need to obey. Alright, we need to obey. Command need to be taken seriously. Seriously. So let's read Matthew 28, 18 to 20. It says here, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of this age." So what is the Great Commission in a nutshell? The Great Commission describes the disciple task, what they are supposed to do while they are on this earth. They were to go everywhere, teach, literally make disciples of all nations, baptize new believers, and teach them Jesus' commandment. Like I said, the church can be involved in so many things. The church can be involved in so many things, right? It is all good. Like we are reaching the community, you know, we have discipling groups, and we are really teaching all these that Jesus has commanded, even locally in the churches in Singapore. But we must not neglect in the area of missions. And another verse that I want you to emphasize is Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 is also part of the Great Commission. So let me read to you. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in all Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So Jerusalem speaks about Singapore. Judea maybe talks about Malaysia. Samaria maybe talks about other parts of Asia. And to the ends of the earth can be what? Can be Africa, can be South America, can be the furthest place from Singapore. Right? So the Great Commission is enabled by the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? The Great Commission is enabled by the power of the Holy Spirit. So because of this, every church, local church, must fulfill the Great Commission. So churches can have a distinct flavor or what we call a certain kind of DNA. So some churches are well known for strong worship, for beautiful worship, it's fine. Some are maybe well known for their youth ministry, their children ministry. Some are even well known for their systematic study of the word. But one thing is that no, all of us must be involved to carry out this mission. Can I hear amen? Yes. So whatever we do must revolve around the Great Commission. If you find yourself doing something in the church, even as leaders, that is not revolving around this, I think we have to sit back and evaluate. Are we doing what we are supposed to do? Okay? Yes. And now, like I said, I want to just give a definition of two words regarding politics. By the way, there will be a Bukit Batok. They call it what? By-election. Is it by? Yes. Yeah, because I'm not saying Bukit Batok. But anyway, I heard about it. So there's two words. So I look up the dictionary meaning to find out what is it. And I think it's applicable to the church. I believe so. The first one is mandate. Second one, manifesto. Mandate, manifesto. M and M. All right. The first one, in politics, a mandate is the authority granted by a constituency to act as its representative. And surely the Great Commission is the mandate. We have been given authority to go to all nations, to teach, preach, baptize them, teach them the word of God. Secondly, what is a manifesto? Manifesto, the definition is a longer. A manifesto is a published verbal declaration of the intention, the motive, the views of the issuer, be it an individual, group, political party, or government. Right? So the church has a mandate. What is the mandate? We are authorized by Jesus Christ Himself to represent Jesus on this earth. Jesus is no longer on this earth, by the way. I hope you know. Right? Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, interceding for us. Right? We have the Holy Spirit here. He has not left us, not abandoned us. He has given us the Holy Spirit. Yes, so we are Jesus' representative. Everybody say, I am Jesus' representative. Yeah, so we belong to a kingdom of God. And that's what all the covenant series is all about. Right? Talking that we are in this world, but we are not of the world. But we need to have a kingdom mentality. So let me share with you that the mandate is part of the kingdom. So the manifesto, I believe, is in Luke 4:18. So I say 1, 2, 3, all of us, I want you to open your mouth and read it. Alright, the word of God, sometimes, like in these kind of places, is good to be spoken aloud. Alright, it will encourage you and also stop some of you from dozing off. Alright, so can we say 1, 2, 3? 1, 2, 3, let's read together. The Spirit of the Lord, I can't hear you. To preach the gospel to the poor, He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. All right, so this is what I call the manifesto. And this, the Spirit of the Lord, is not only upon Jesus, all right, but also upon us. The Lord Jesus gave it to His apostles, all right, and it was passed down to the 70, to the 72, and finally to us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what do I learn from this Luke 4:18? I learned that healing is a major aspect of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Healing and deliverance are part of a package. So when we talk about salvation, the Greek word is sozo. And sozo basically means what? No, it's health, wholeness, restoration, completeness, all these things. Right. So when Jesus saved you, heal you, it's not just to go to heaven, but He's literally changing you. He's touching you in your spirit, your soul, and your body. And even as I'm standing here, I'm a product of this healing and deliverance ministry. About 30 years ago, I had, it's not epilepsy, but I had what we call the blackout. You know, blackout? Blackout. I suffered for 2 years. Doctors can't do anything. I was still working in Citibank. Finally, my manager said, Cynthia, it's time you go to the great specialist. And I was sent to the Mount Elizabeth Hospital. At that time, it was very expensive. They were supposed to do, some kind of check. I'm not supposed to go out from the hospital unless they check every part. So I went, you know, that time they did the MR and whatnot. But anyway, it didn't cure me. And as I was even staying in the hospital, I heard voices. These are demonic voices telling me, you are hopeless, you'll never be cured. Why don't you open the window? By the way, the window already opened. Alright? You just jump down. Don't have to open the window. Just jump down and that's it. I was so fearful, I didn't sleep the whole night. The next day, my brother came and I told my brother, get me out of this hospital. So my brother said, you cannot, you just admitted yesterday, they didn't do tests yet. Alright? They're supposed to do a lot of tests, but didn't do yet. Right? And I said, these words that really frightened him. You know, I said to my brother, I said, Jimmy, that is his name lah. Huh? I said, if you don't bring me out of this hospital right now, you will never see me again. Because I knew, if I stayed one more night, he has to conduct the funeral. No, he won't conduct the funeral. He has to arrange the funeral, I mean. Arrange the funeral, yes. Right. So by God's mercy, through a miracle, right, I knew the Lord Jesus Christ. He healed me, He delivered me, and this is where I am. Amen. Yeah, so we see that the Great Commission is two-pronged. You know that we share the gospel. Yeah, you share the gospel, you do whatever method, doesn't matter. But when you see a person that is suffering, right, you need to minister the healing and deliverance. Right, I know in Church of Our Savior, we have healing room, we have inner healing deliverance ministry. But what I'm saying is not just for a few individuals. Sometimes, when they say specialized ministry, my hair stand, You know why not? The word specialized is like, it's like only Cynthia and Eunice can do, The rest cannot do, What nonsense, right? Right? Like, what I'm saying is that, Luke 4:18, the manifesto is for all of us. The point is that whether you believe or not, according to your faith, right? We do need specialty, and I'm not denying that. Or not, I'll be out of job, you see, no? yeah, we do that. But my point is, all of us are empowered. Amen. You can do it, yeah. Yeah, so example, you are in the workplace. You see your colleague, suddenly the eyes are tearing, look very sad, right? So you go and makan with your colleague, right? Eat char siu, right? Eat chicken rice, right? Probe further, right? Share the gospel. Not only that, find out more. And the colleague may be sharing with you, why she's depressed and all that. So besides sharing the gospel, begin to pray for her. Amen. Begin to minister. Begin to pray in wisdom, in gentleness. And tell you, the Holy Spirit is waiting. He's waiting to touch people. But where are we? He needs our ear. He needs our mouth. He needs our leg. He needs our what? Our fingers also. And so forth. Yeah, so I would encourage you that, Luke 4:18 is so important. Alright, so Now, why do I say healing and delivery ministry are important? You can see the three verses there. Matthew 10:8, Luke 9:2. I want to emphasize Luke 10:9, which is one of my favorite verse. It says, and heal the sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Amen. Right. So when I was healed, when I was delivered from the spirit of fear and death, all right, that is another story. Right. Basically, the kingdom of God has come in me. And I was never the same anymore. I was never the same anymore. So since the church already knows her mission, that is the Great Commission, the church must have a vision. Everybody say vision. Vision means places. Places. Where do we hope to go? We can't be aimless, no? No, in other words, when you throw dart, I'm not a dart player, but at least I know I got common sense. You throw dart, right? The dart, you got to get the bull's eye, right? They said, right? So you don't anyhow just throw, at the side. So we need to what? Need to know the places, right? So the places, you don't have to worry. I told you, right? Just pray that you are open and you make a decision to go about the timing. Don't worry about the places because that is Pastor Vanaja's responsibility. Yeah. She will seek the Lord. God will give her places. So, very easy for you. Yes, right? Yeah. So you just respond. We will tell you what is happening. Now, mission is a characteristic of God. God is a sending God. He sent His Son. He sent Jesus to renew the world. Right, so mission does not start and end with us. It starts and ends with God. Can I hear a big amen? Yes. And then there are verses from John 17. Right, but for the sake of time, it's a very long verse. All of you, quickly look at the slide. Even as I am just talking, you will read. Amen? Can you read quickly? Don't look at me, look at the slide. Yes, look at the slide. John 17. Right, and I just want to highlight verse 18. John 17, verse 18. Jesus say, has you sent me into the world? I also have sent them into the world. Alright. In fact, one pastor say, I won't name names, okay? I don't want to name names, but he's very radical. You know radical or not? Radical means, I tell you, lives and breathes missions, you know. Everything he say come out all mission. Yeah, so after spending 1 hour, you say, like Isaiah, oh Lord, send me. You know that kind of thing, alright? That kind of, yes. And what happened is, he says that the Great Commission is to go there, right, not go, right. So he said, normally, this is how it works. I didn't say this earlier, but I'm prompted now. Normally, we all stay here, comfortable in our chair, right? Our chair, and then we pray, God, are you sending me? Is that right? Normally, right. But this pastor say is the opposite. You know, it's the reverse or not? It means that, I think Eunice know. Eunice smiling. Yeah. It means that, he said that actually is the other way, All of us are told to go, Therefore, go. Go and make disciples. It means, all of us sitting here, seated here, including me, we are told to go, The only time we can sit here, on the chair, is when God tell you to stay. Now, is that radical or not? Yes, give me a nod, right? That kind of thinking, I'm not saying that this is how Church of Our Savior think. No, I'm just saying what that person say. Right, yeah. So I want you to have this mindset, Because sometimes, we approach mission, it's like, we need to have that, what do you call it, Macedonian call, right? Is it the angel, Is it angel appeared, or the messenger or something like that, appeared to, is it Paul? Right, Paul about the Macedonian call, Right. And by the way, for a mission trip, let me put it, mission trip, let me tell you, no need to pray, Wow, you're shocked, man. You say, you don't believe in prayer. You know why? Mission trip only maximum 10 days, What to pray? People ask me, even now, they ask me, Cynthia, they got mission to Bangkok or Osaka, They said they must pray about it. From my heart, no need to pray. You know what, Because, tell me, I ask them, even you pray, would God say no or not? No, I'm very logical. Why would God say no? Not, maybe 10 years, maybe not timing, 10 days, maximum. What, no. Okay, what can you pray? I tell you what you pray. I'm very practical, I'm very down to earth, Do you know that? You pray for two things. You pray for money, because the church not paying for you, right? Yes. Yeah. Secondly, you pray for what? You pray that you can apply leave. Yes, yeah. 10 days is a lot. You got 14 days. So boss said cannot. This one is what? Important time, You cannot go. Right. So now I'm telling you, no need to pray. Ridiculous. You go for 10 days, you want to pray. Okay. Now, you may not agree with me, but this is my conviction, I'm telling you. Right? Because, like I said that, I don't pray. Now, for a mission trip even, like I said, I would just ask Vanaja, this year, is there opportunity for me and my team? Wherever it is, you send me. My answer is always yes. If I say no, it's because of medical reason. I think 2 years ago, I was slotted to go East Timor. In fact, I was looking forward to it. Go Timor, you know. I was planning. In fact, I had the team. You know, I had the first meeting. And I had, Siu Lee or Lee Shan were in Singapore, you know, 2 years ago. 2014, Then they showed the clip, you know, about East Timor. I had five people watching the clip, you know. And you guess what? 2 weeks later, was down with the appendicitis, like burst. And then land up in hospital. Right? So the doctor said, cannot travel. Right? So I'm telling you, make yourself available. Amen. Make yourself available. Right. So I want to share missions with the excitement, right, to show that when we make ourselves available, we will be able to experience God. I tell you, in wondrous ways. Allow me to repeat what Pastor Daniel said. Yesterday he didn't say, but I think at this morning, 8:30 a.m., while he was having a closing prayer, he said there are experiences that you will never before experience when you are in the mission field. And these are good experiences, right, not to scare you. And I just felt, you know, reminded of this. I will share with you two experiences, short, briefly. I was in Zambia. I told you, right, we do a cells church planting. And so most of the night, we have to go to a live group, cell group. So we don't have car. The only car we have is two car. You know these two car? Right. So we walk. And you know that in Zambia, it's very dark. At night, they got no street lights because it's a very... not a rich country, right? So the cell group are in the homes, right? So the homes are not very far from where we stay, so we used to walk. And we are walking in the dark, and then I fell into a pothole. You know it's a pothole or not? It's not a pot of soup, no. It's a pothole, right? And Zambia and Uganda, the potholes are very big. It's not like Singapore, they are not rich. So the pothole, they don't go and repair the pothole. The pothole get bigger and bigger. Yes. So I fell. And you know, by God's grace, nothing happened to me, right? No fracture, nothing, right? Don't have to go to hospital. I just rested for 2 or 3 days. I recovered. Praise the Lord. Ministry continue. There was another incident. This is more scary, I tell you. I was also in Zambia going to a cell group. I was walking on the road, right near the road there, going to a cell group as normal in the night. And suddenly, a lorry passed by. You know the open lorry? Open lorry, they all carry the metal lock, you know. You know it's a metal lock, metal, you know the lock, metal pole, right? Then suddenly, the lorry passed by so fast, but I think it was on my right. You know, I heard the metal rod kind of hit my cheek. You know, I could feel it. No, pong like that. No, so of course I said, well, I was in pain. No, then by the time I want to look out already, they all went off. So they didn't, they didn't give me insurance or they went off already. So I had to go to cell group. Right, I went to cell group. I got the cell members to pray. They put the eyes on me. All right, and then I did not see because I don't have a mirror to see what is the extent. So after the cell group, I went home to stay to sleep. The next morning I got up. You know, women or not, when you get up, what is the first thing we do? Oh, not you, maybe for me. I look at the mirror, lah. Yeah. The first thing, look at the mirror to see, you know, the hair and all that. And I was so conscious, that there will be a, what do you call it? A red patch or what, be swollen. No? And to my amazement, when I see, my skin was so smooth, it was the normal Cynthia, I tell you. Yeah. No, unbelievable, no. I couldn't believe, no. I kind of like touch, I said nothing. Yesterday, was it a dream? Last night? No, it wasn't a dream, right? Yes. So I'm telling you, somehow I felt the angel must have, angel travel, right? The angel somehow was there at the scene, and the angel happened to cushion me, you know. I tell you, yes. So I'm telling you, there are many, many experiences, but for the sake of time, I cannot share all. But I'm just reminded. So let me tell you, you will experience things that you have never experienced. Here in Singapore, we are so pampered. Any problem, call cell leader. Cell leader, call area pastor. Area pastor, call senior pastor. Right, if I'm the senior pastor, I say, just call Jesus lah, easier lah, don't call me lah. Yeah. Call Jeremiah 33:3. You call unto him and he will show you great and mighty things. Amen. Yes, and that's what we are called to do. Call the hotline. Yes, right. We are not saying that we have no place. We have a place. But I think it's like this hierarchy. But in the mission field, that was 20 years ago. Let me tell you, the telephone line is so expensive. And there's no handphone also. Right. So my team and I, whatever it is, we say, tolong, tolong, you know, we call Jesus. Right. And Jesus made a way out for us. Right. So amen. So that's wonderful. So quickly, we say that mission did not start with the Great Commission. Right, but he had been a part of God's plan from the beginning. All right, so we see the kings encourage the people to declare the glory of the Lord. That is in 2 Kings, you can find. Even the prophet proclaimed God's name. That is found in Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 14 says, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the water covered the sea. Then you know Jonah, right? Jonah went to Nineveh reluctantly. He was called the reluctant prophet and evangelist. But this is not of Church of Our Savior. All of you are what, willing, more than willing, no reluctancy. Alright? Yeah, so he went there to preach to the Ninevite. You know, there was a revival. They say even the animals repent. I don't know how the animals repent, but that's how the Bible says, I believe. The animals repent, so they had a new lease of life. Now, so we see here, from Genesis chapter 12, when God told Abraham that all of the families of the earth will be blessed through his offspring. Alright, so you can see the verse there. And then Revelation chapter 5, the last part, it says that, alright, worthy are you, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed a people of God from every tribe, every language, every nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priest to our God. Right? So there is a big difference between a dream and a vision. And Church of Our Savior doesn't have this dream about missions. Right? I don't think Pastor Bandarjo is saying that. How I wish I can go there. Would it be nice we have a church plant, you know, in that place? Right? I know her. She's also a very down-to-earth person. She's what I call a strategic. You know, strategic. Right? I'm more the spontaneous type. But actually, we make a good combination, you know, right? She's very strategic. She is a deliberator at times. For me, it's like, chong lah, go there first lah, after that, counting lah, you know, that kind of thing. But sometimes, she tell me, Cynthia, slow down, right? Yeah. So we need to have this kind of pairing, amen, to appreciate each other, right? Yeah, so what happened is, right, she has a vision. And like I said, the two countries are Bobonaro in Timor-Leste. In case up to now, you all don't know where Bobonaro is, we sang the song so many times, right? And the other one is Bangkok in Thailand. Bangkok in Thailand. So having a mission and even a vision are not enough to fulfill the Great Commission. We need a plan to fulfill and accomplish our vision. So what is our plan? How do we get there? How do we accomplish? Right? So God has given us the power. He has given us the promise that we can do it. So a missional church depends on the Holy Spirit, led and directed by the Holy Spirit. Similarly, we will be empowered by the Holy Spirit as we make disciples of all nations. Make the power of nations. So we have this plan. The plan is the SMS. Everybody say SMS. It's short mission service. So the definition of short mission service, I have to define in case you think it's a 10-day trip. It's not. Minimum 1 year to 2 years. Why do I say to 2 years? I'll include the 2 years in case it's a language situation. For example, in Osaka, we have them. One of the lady is serving for 2 years. 1 year not enough. You've got to learn Japanese. So similarly, when we send you to Bangkok, we ask for 1 year, but it's renewable. Hopefully, you can commit 2 years. Hopefully. Because by the time you learn the language, we don't want to come back and go there and do some work first. Right? Yes. So, it's 2 years. What are the qualification or the requirement, prerequisite? Actually, they are quite simple. Right? Then there is, by the way, you don't need a BA. You know BA? The Bachelor of Arts. You don't need. What you need is BA, born again. Okay? Yeah. So if you are born again, we will take you. No age limit. Age limit is the poor, the young. Now, how many of you are under 30? Raise your hands. Hey, it's good to be young, you know. I wish I can raise my hand. No, I can't, you know. Yeah. How many? Under 30. Yeah. How can we be so few? This is a 10:30 service. Right. Yes. Right. So I'm saying that I want to encourage the young ones, the 8:30, I gave a call, right, to the older ones. To the older ones, alright? Yeah. So now, my encouragement is, of course, everyone can apply. But what we are saying that we want to look for young ones. Besides that, we are looking for men. Everybody say men. You know who you are, huh? Right? Yeah. We are looking for men. Because it's so pathetic to have a mission team for only 3 or 4 ladies. Where are the men? We have to reach the men and the women, no? Cannot just be reaching the women. Alright? Yeah. Because in some culture, like I said, you have to be sensitive. Alright, not say that, for me no issue, you know, I can pray for a man, I can talk to a man, but the thing is that they are not open to me. Yeah. So we need brothers. Alright, brothers. Okay, yeah. Chu Ming, are you nodding? Yes. Right, yeah. Oh, by the way, this will also include staff. Oh, I'm stepping some toe. After this, I may not have any friends in the staff. Right, yes. Except Banaja, of course, and pastor. Yeah. Right, I mean, this includes staff. You know why not? Because everyone is included. If God call you, just serve. Right? Yeah. So, everybody included. Eh? And by the way, we want to send our best to the mission field. Vanaja, can you say amen? Yeah, we want to send the best. It's not like nothing to do in Singapore. You know, Singapore can't make it. Let me go to Zambia. No, no, no. We send our best. Best means what? We want the commando. We want the SWAT team. Right? We want people who are really, really on fire for the Lord. No, can say, alright? Yeah. So, I'm also appealing to people, right, who are in ministry, some part of ministry, right? Because we are going there to plant a church, right? It'll be a team ministry. That's the excitement. You won't be alone. You have a team. Preferably 4 to 5. Actually, 5 is excellent. You have a team leader, you got 4 people. Alright? And the combination is wonderful. 2 men, 2 women. Alright? Even married couple, wonderful, man. Married couple respond, wow, wonderful. We already have find another 2 or 3 only. Right. So married couple are also included. Right. So whatever age, gender, old, single, married, retiree, or all are welcome. So for the young people, especially I want to encourage you, you are in transition, alright? Right after studies and you're not sure about your career path or that. Alright, so commit 1 year at least. Now, an average lifespan 85 years. Average. Right? That's for women, the man is younger. This is not what I say, but statistics say. Statistics say. And 1 year of 85%. Like I said, of 85 years old, I calculated it's 1.17%. I repeat, it's not 10%. 1.17%. Is it too much to give to the Lord in the area of mission? Right? Yeah, 1.17%. Right? So I want to encourage you to consider, don't just shut yourself. Right? So another requirement is that no prior mission experience required. Right? You don't even have to go on a mission trip to no need. Right? We will train you. So we have an excellent training program. Right? Now number 4, we need to visit the intended location at least once before we can accept him or her in the program. And I felt the leadership is being very pastoral. Being very lenient in this, right? My time, I had no money to go to Zambia. The airfare was 4,000. So it's like, just go, after 2 years come back. You know, that kind of thing, right? It's not going to, Bali, cost $200. But I say, thank the Lord, the cruise leadership is very pastoral. They want you to have a feel of that place, right? But of course, you are going at your own expense, correct? Yes. So Bobonaro, I think some of them went in April. And then Bangkok, of course, I think many of you have gone to Bangkok. So no need to spend money to go again. Right. So these are. And now I want to add on, if there are some tips and preparation for missions. All right. Firstly, be actively involved in some kind of ministry. Some kind of small group ministry. Secondly, learn about the country that you intend to go. For example, you feel that you want to respond to Thailand. I will leave the timing and all the details to Pastor Manaja because I'm not in that department. All right. Yeah. So she will give you all the details. But what you are responding today, you say, God, I'm available and I want to be part of Church of Our Savior, church planting team to Bangkok. So what do you do now? You don't just sit, sit as you are. Once they start the Thai language, right? Thai language or what they call the Thai interest group. Is it? Thai interest. So you start connecting with them, right? Then you learn the culture. Go and read books about the mentality of Thai, right? Do everything. Alright, and if there is a Bangkok trip, I think in August now, there is a December I led one. But in August, I believe, we led by Michael something, right? Yeah, there was another brother, they're going to lead a team, right? You can also join the mission trip to Bangkok. Right, so these are the human preparation that we can do, right? So that you can serious about your calling. Now, so even knowing our mission, having a vision and a plan are not enough. What do we need to do? Right, this is where all of us come in. And right now, I want you to close your eyes. Now, I'm going to pray this prayer, right? Because I'm going to close soon. Right, soon is may not be so soon. But anyway, now let me pray this over you. Right, so I want you to just relax. Relax, I want you to just tune out, take away every distraction. Right, at this season, I think I just want to pray and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Because it is the Holy Spirit that will commission you. We are just the agent, the vehicle to send you forth. Right, so quieten your heart and just say, just be willing as I pray for you. Hallelujah. Jesus, Lord of the harvest, we pray right now for workers to be sent to the mission field. In the name of Jesus, we want to break every fear, known or unknown, and every resistance that your people may have regarding the thought of even being sent. We release your perfect peace over them right now. Your perfect peace over every person in the auditorium, even those who are seated up there. Your perfect peace, we release over them so that they can hear you clearly. They can hear your heart's cry. They can hear you clearly. They can obey. They can respond in faith to whatever you are saying to them right now. And my prayer is that, like Isaiah, many will say, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" Do the work, Holy Spirit. Only you can do. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. Amen. All right. Yeah, I've not finished yet. I go to my last point. Our response. And those of you who are interested, there is a booth. I understand there is a SMS booth outside there. And you just submit your name. All right. Or maybe you want to submit to your area pastor. But you can submit to somebody will be there. And just to assure you, when you submit, we are not going to send you next week. All right. Not even next month. I told earlier, right, we ourselves are not prepared. We have to prepare first. We have planned. We are in the middle of preparation, but not next week, right? So why must I commit now? There is something about a response, right? Through God's, when God is speaking, we need to respond. I myself responded to God way many years before I went to Zambia for 2 years. When I went to Uganda for 6 months, I already responded. I said, "God, if you speak, I will go." Right, so this is the attitude that I want to impart on you. Amen. So I hope that you hear my heart. Right, so what is our response? Who will fulfill the great mission, commission? So since we are in Christ, we have a missionary identity. We are adopted into a missionary family. We serve a missionary God. Mission becomes part of identity because Father God is a missionary God and we resemble Him as a child of God. Right, so you see the responses. These are people from the Old and the New Testament. Alright, there's a whole list of people there. They are missionaries, right? So what I'm trying to say is that to be on a Christian is on a mission. So once you become a believer, the Great Commission becomes your mission. You may ask God, "Am I suitable to be a missionary?" Alright? And I did not say this earlier in the service, but I'm reminded, God is not looking for ability. Wow, that all of us say, wow. Right? Because, again, I say, God is not looking for ability. Do you agree? Because some of you say, "I'm not able." What is he looking for? He's looking for availability. Are you available or not? And I think we can. We can make ourselves available, right? So God is looking for availability. And what I've come up is the AA people. Now, who are the AA people? Availability and adaptability. Everybody say adaptability. Yeah. So sometimes to be a missionary, you all think that, you know, there is like, we must move in signs and wonder, must be able to preach well. No. That is good, But to me, I'm a team leader. I'm very practical, I told you, right? I'm looking for someone that's adaptable. You may move mountain, no? But you are such a picky eater, don't be in my team. Right? Everybody eat everything. Even whatever the Africans serve, they have to eat. No excuse. The only excuse I give is that if you have a medical problem, you tell me, "Oh, I cannot eat cockroaches now. Because doctor say, give me heart attack or something like that, you know." I don't worry, I'm not eating cockroaches. I only ate grasshopper in Uganda. It's okay. It tastes like what? Not like that dry prawn and that. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So what I'm saying, that you need to be adaptable. Right. And these are the people I tell you, you know why not? Besides availability, adaptability will help you to be a happy missionary. You want to be a happy missionary? Yeah. Because what? Let me tell you, anything can happen in the mission team. In the mission trip. Alright? Or the mission program. Right? So you need to be adaptable. So when you're adaptable, you have a very good attitude. Right? Yes. So that's why I'm looking for people who are not only available, but adaptable. Right? And then, you are ordinary men, ordinary natural men or women, serving an extraordinary and supernatural God. So remember, we are ordinary, but we have a supernatural God. Amen. Right? And the book of Mark promised that as we go forth to do the healing and all that, signs and wonders will follow. And I'm reminded, last week, Pastor Selvam mentioned two sisters. In fact, I know them very well. Right? One of them is my member, my leader. Right? One of them is Lucy, and one is Evelyn G. Now, Lucy, you know the story, right? She was sent to a very different country, but through the one disciple, now there is a church there. Right, she's now back in Singapore, right, serving. Right. So Lucy, if you look at Lucy, she's very small. She's half my size and she's quite timid, not like me, you know, very soft spoken. But I tell you, she has the spirit of Caleb. Right? Perseverance and tenacity. right? And then how God is able to use her. Evelyn G, like I said, has a very spirit of excellence. She was in a place called Emera. Emera is in Timor. Emera is also a difficult place, but God used her wonderfully in community outreach. She went there, she saw the children, the children are so aimless and all that, and she started, not only teaching, but she did a lot of community outreach. And now that if you go to this place, Emera, you will see that how everything has changed. Right, so what I'm trying to share with you is that we are ordinary people, but we serve an extraordinary God. So in the mission field, we will go beyond our comfort zone. And we will do things we have never even thought possible. Right, so for those of you who are quite restless, you may be involved in this ministry in Singapore, but you just felt that, restless means like, not in a bad sense. You feel that you want to do more. It's like you are in a small little tent. You feel trapped. And you say, God, I just feel I need to enlarge my tent. Let me tell you, mission field is the best where you can enlarge, because down there got no tent, no borders. You can do anything you want. Yes, I'm telling you, you can do anything you want. Yes, because what? No, like I said, of course, under the Holy Spirit guidance, of course, I have to add that. You can do anything you want, right? So I will end with these two quotations, right, from Mother Teresa and Catherine Kuhlman. So Mother Teresa says this. She was interviewed by a reporter. So the reporter was asking her this question. He was quite sarcastic. When Mother Teresa was challenged with these words, what can you do to build an orphanage with only 3 shillings? She replied, Teresa with only 3 shillings can do nothing. But with 3 shillings and God to help her, there's nothing Teresa cannot do. Amen. Yes, so this is the attitude when we go to the mission field. With God, all things are possible because it's mission possible. And Catherine Kuhlman, I believe in miracles. This is what she said. This is a woman of faith. All right. The only limit to the power of God lies within the individual. Maybe I make it more personal. The only limit to the power of God lies within you. The only limit to the power of God lies within you. Not even the church. Sometimes we blame the church, They forgot, the church is who? Who's the church? Point to yourself. Point. I'm the church. Sometimes we say, the church never do this, the church never do that. They forgot. I hope you are the church, right? You are not part outside the church. Right? You are the church, right? Right. So, the only limit to the power of God lies within you, the individual. It is when active faith dares to believe God to the point of action that something has to happen. Alright? So, this kind of message, demand an altar call. Amen. Yeah, I cannot just say, ask Pastor Daniel to pray a blessing prayer, right? Because what? You have to start somewhere. So we ask the worship team to come, right? We are going to sing this wonderful song, Elijah, the days of Elijah, right? So my altar call, very simple. There are two altar calls. The first one is for those who want to be more effective witnesses wherever God has placed you. Alright, this is talking about wherever you are, wherever you are now in Singapore, right? You want to believe on the manifesto of Luke 4:18. Right? You want the anointing and the power to preach the gospel, heal the sick, deliver people from oppression. Just as Jesus, the Son of God, was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil, you want to do the works of Jesus and then ultimately destroy the works of the devil. Right? It says, right, say in John, Jesus was manifested so that he can destroy the works of the devil. And that's why the authority has been given to us. So that when we preach the gospel, right, we want to destroy, the interference of the evil one upon the pre-believers and also upon the believers. Yeah. So this is the altar call and you say, Cynthia, I'm not ready to go yet. That implies in the future you will go. I say yet, no. Yet means later you will go, right? But at the moment you say, I want to be more effective in the marketplace, right, in wherever God has placed you. The second one is, will be very specific. How many will consider? I even use the word consider. I'm not asking to respond to go tomorrow. Consider to be a part of Kuhl's church planting teams to Bobonaro and Bangkok. Amen. So I'm going to be very specific. Alright, so you feel that, like I said, in the next, I do not know the time frame, 2 years, Bobonaro will be earlier, right? Bangkok will be later. But whatever it is, you feel a target, you say, God, I want to respond, I want to make a decision, right? You will not be alone, you will be a part of a team. Right, and you want to respond. Right, so we will sing the song. Okay, everybody rise up. Yeah, we will sing the song together. And if you want to respond to the first call, you want to be an effective witness, right, wherever God has placed you. And the second call is that you are saying, God, count me in. Like, I want to consider. Alright? Yeah. So as we sing the song, just respond. All right, just respond. We will just pray for you.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And those are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword.
Respond, don't be fearful. I really want to appeal to more brothers. Alright, we thank God for some of the brothers that respond. But I believe the size of this church, the size of this church, there is no reason to say that we send two, we send three. We should be sending two or three teams, not two or three people. Hear my heart's cry. The size of this church, we cannot send two or three people. Personally, this is not accepted. We should be sending two or three teams. And one team, there are, at least we need five people. So I want you, all right, brothers, wherever you are, do not stop. Invest. Invest in the kingdom of God. And I tell you, you will never be the same. Your family needs to be taken care of. All right, so please, we want to sing one more time. We want the brothers to respond. All right, and God has given me certain numbers. All right, certain numbers. Like I said, yesterday I received five. This morning I received three. That you respond specifically to the mission field. I'm talking about mission field. Alright, and this afternoon, I received six. I received six. And by faith, I know these six, God is speaking to you. Only six. Six are out of 1,000 people. Surely God is calling. Would you say, like Isaiah, I respond. I do not respond to a man, but I respond to the Lord Jesus Christ. I respond. And we, the leadership, we assure you, we will train you, we will take care of you, we will do what is necessary. But you are responding to God. When I went to the mission field, do you know the pastor that was above me? He said something that I've never forgotten. And he said, Cynthia, though the church is a vehicle that sent you, but remember, you respond to the call of God. You remember that. And I say, yes, Pastor, I respond to the call of Jesus. And that's why for 2 years, I was able to go through. Yes. So I want you to respond. God is faithful. Right? And I want more brother. I want the six people. God is speaking, you come up here. Right? I feel such a strong sense that God is calling you. Yeah.
These are the days of Ezekiel. The dry bones become
yes, Lord.
His flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. These are the days of the harvest. The fields are as wide as the world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he shining like the sun, at the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, out of Zion till salvation comes. Behold, he comes,
Even as I ask Pastor Vanaja to pray for these people, we are not going to lay hands on you to pray for you. Not necessary. Because you are responding to Jesus, the Lord of the harvest. Alright, so wherever you are, say, God, I'm committed. I'm committed to do what you have called me to do. That's all God demands of you.
Praise you. Now the Moravians are known for their missionary zeal. And as they were leaving to become volunteer slaves, they voluntarily went into slavery so that they could preach the gospel to the slaves. And as they were leaving, their reason for their going was so that the Lamb may receive the reward of his suffering. Yes. So that Jesus may receive the glory that is due his name. Father, the only reason we do missions is so that Jesus may receive all the glory that is due his name from the lips of every man, woman, and child, that the nations may know who you are, that you have come and died, that we may rejoice, that we may have new life. And today, Lord, I just pray for my brothers and sisters that you will fill them with zeal for your name. That they may see you as never before. That they may know that you are a God who is trustworthy. You will never fail them even as they embark on this journey of faith. You well up in their hearts, Lord, what you are calling them to. Your word says that you lead even the blind by a way they do not know. And many times we don't know the way, but you know the way. So you lead them. Confirm what you are saying to them. Fill them with fresh ideas, strategies, new ways of thinking, new ways of working, that they may not operate from an old paradigm where they need everything in place, but there will be a new spirit of creativity that will come even as they move out of their familiar surroundings. So we bless them in your name. You lead them. You guide them. May they run with the vision that you are giving to them. And we pray all this in Jesus' name.
Amen.